Jesus' followers were devastated after Good Friday. They were devastated. And I wonder if we could start to enter into what it might have felt like. I'd like a little visual aid. So, Matt, could you come out and be my visual aid? Now, look, this is Matt.
Hi, everyone.
Say hello to Matt. Say hello, Matt.
Hello.
Okay. Now, for those of you who don't know Matt, Matt is our youth minister, all right? Now, look, everyone loves Matt, all right? I was up at Salisbury Cathedral on Thursday, and a lady came up to me and says, "How's my little Matt?" And it turned out to be Matt's granny, all right? Okay, but all right? But look, everyone loves Matt. His granny loves him, okay? The grannies in the church love him because they think he's like their grandson, okay? The parents in the church love him because he's a fantastic, you know, role model and he cares for the young people. The young people in the church love him because he's cool, okay? I love him because he's a great colleague to have. His wife, Vera, loves him because they just got married last July. All right, isn't that lovely? And he's a great worship leader. And so there's so many good things about Matt now. And also, for the purposes of this example, he looks spookily a little bit like Jesus, doesn't he? Isn't that good? Okay. Now look, supposing this is what happened. Here we are in church. Some soldiers arrive at the door. They walk in. And they take him away. Okay? They throw him in a cell for a few hours. Then they take him down the seafront. They strip him naked. They tie him to a post. They rip his back. They scourge his back. And then they nail him through his wrists and his ankles. And we watch him tortured to death. Okay? Imagine that happening to Matt. Can you imagine that? That's what happened on that first Good Friday. Every single person here, and certainly everyone who knows and loves Matt, would be devastated. Devastated. They were in a collective state of shock. So these two are off to Emmaus, about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And they probably lived there, actually. That's probably where they were going to, back to safety and security and familiarity. But they're not stupid people. You know, they've heard this story about angels saying Jesus was alive, and they know it's garbage. And they know it's garbage because they've seen people nailed to crosses, and they know that when you get nailed to a cross, you die. And they've seen people laid in tombs, and they know you don't get laid in tombs unless you are dead, and when you go into the tomb, you stay dead. So they're not about to start indulging in wishful thinking about dead people coming to life. All right. And anyway, they've given far too much of an emotional commitment to this man Jesus over about 3 years to want to start indulging in wishful thinking now. They just want to be left to grieve in peace. So they're not looking for a meeting with Jesus. In fact, they're not looking for a meeting with anyone, to be honest. They just want to be left to grieve. And then something happens that totally transforms them. Now, of course, we know it's Jesus. We've read the story. They didn't. I don't know whether he looked a bit different or whether they were just so full of grief. They just couldn't think straight. But what I do know is that in a moment, they were transformed from frightened and shocked and broken people to excited and joyful and exhilarated people in a flash. You know, they stagger their way 7 miles to Emmaus. They run back to Jerusalem. That's the difference. By the time they get there, they're two utterly transformed people. And do you know that Jesus' resurrection transforms everything? Everything. Everyone who encounters the resurrected Jesus is transformed. Jesus transformed a group of frightened disciples whose only response when he was arrested was to run away like scared rabbits to save their own skin. Okay, he transformed Mary Magdalene, his friend John, who'd stood in front of the cross and watched him torture to death. Okay, and he transforms people even now. Matt, could you come up again? Because just tell our friends here just a little bit about how Jesus transformed you.
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in a Christian household. My parents are ministers and missionaries. And I always grew up hearing the stories, hearing about God's love. I made a commitment in my life at 13. But things went slightly wrong in my life, actually. At 16, my parents were missionaries out in Tanzania. And I'll give the PG version.
Yeah, okay, right, yeah.
Basically, we got caught up in an armed robbery and some very nasty things happened. And at 16, that's quite hard to figure out. So I started to think, well, where is God? Does he really love me? Does he really care? I actually went off the rails from 16, and I got into all sorts of things. But mainly my biggest problem was alcohol abuse, actually. And then, yeah, so I was at rock bottom for a couple of years, actually. And I thought, what is the point in all this? But then something amazing happened. And I went out to Tanzania again. I dropped out of school. I was at boarding school. My life was a mess. I pulled out of boarding school. I dropped out without any qualifications or anything. And I went back to Tanzania. And I was just broken. But then something amazing happened. The risen Lord Jesus Christ met with me one starry night. I looked up into the sky and I just felt God's voice saying, okay, you've run away, but I love you. I was there with you every step of the way when, in that armed robbery, when you were, you know, drunk and PG version, in the street and all that kind of stuff. I was there when you, I was walking with you during that time. And he said, now it's your turn. And I said, okay, right, I'll stop this now and I'm following you now. And long story short, my life has completely changed, praise the Lord. With no qualifications, I managed to get into a Bible college and do a university degree. I married a very beautiful woman. Yep, she's a smiling eternal red, that's good news. And, you know, people talk about God as this kind of person up in the sky who's a cosmic policeman who says you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. You know what? Jesus Christ is real, he's alive, he's living, and he wants a relationship with every single person in this room. He wants to walk with you through the ups and through the downs. Christianity isn't just a religion for people who are happy, clappy, and dancing up and down. We love to celebrate. But actually, Christianity is a relationship in the ups and downs. And 16 years ago, I don't know where my life would have been without Jesus Christ. So, complete total transformation in my life. Praise God for that.
Fantastic. Why don't we give a round of applause? It's great. Well done, Matt. Thank you. Yeah. Look, Jesus is still in the business of transforming people because he answers the world's deepest needs. If you're fearful, he promises to be with you whatever happens. And it's true. I've known people, some people I know right now, who are going through real difficult, dark times, through pain and anguish, but have an abiding sense that Jesus is right with them through thick and thin. If you're sick, it's the experience of many people. People in this church today, this morning, that Jesus can and does heal in miraculous and extraordinary ways. And if you're feeling guilty, so guilty you might not be able to forgive yourself for something you did maybe many years ago, you're carrying around a burden of guilt. The good news is that Jesus' death on the cross means that we don't need to carry that burden of guilt any longer. We can be forgiven. Whatever we've done, Matt, let's see, he gave you the parental guidance version, okay, but he got into some messy stuff. But Jesus can take someone at the bottom of the heap and completely transform them. So that's the good news. You see, the resurrection is not like any other historical event. It's, you know, we hear about historical events which are important, like 1066 or the fall of the Berlin Wall or this kind of stuff. That's really interesting. But Easter Day took place nearly 2,000 years ago, but the effects can be felt in our individual lives every day. Every day, week on that. So, the question for each one of us this morning, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Okay. What he wants us to do is he wants us to let him transform our lives. So whether you're young or old, whether you come to church regularly or just a Christmas and Easter kind of person, okay, whether you're healthy or sick, Jesus is in the transformation business this morning. So I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask God to come and meet with each one of us, and then we're going to share Holy Communion. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for Easter. Thank you that you did stay in the grave. Thank you that you rose from the dead and that you are alive today. Thank you that you are still in the transformation business. Thank you that you transformed Matt from the bottom of the heap and raised him up to be the man that he is today. Thank you that you touched my life many years ago. And thank you that you stuck with me through thick and thin, through good times and through bad times too. And Lord, I know that you want to transform each one of our lives. You want to meet with each one of us. Lord, so for those of us, Lord, who are fearful, come and put a hand on our shoulder. And Lord, release us from fear and fill us with peace. For those of us who feel guilty, Lord, help us, Lord, to come to you, accept who we are, but receive your forgiveness. Lord, for those of us who need your healing, come in the power of your Spirit and meet with us this morning and heal us. Lord, I pray that each person here this morning may come and come to you, receive from you, and leave this place as transformed people and know a brand new quality of life. Amen.